حسين 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 حسين
We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your mourning and your acts of devotion in these blessed days and grant us all the honor of being among the true followers and companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his mercy among the companions of Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Thank you so much for joining on the blessed eighth day of the month of Muharram al-Haram. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters from across the globe. Welcome to your special live Muharram program through the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the shining examples of young figures like Hazrat Ali Akbar, Hazrat Qasim, and Hazrat Sukaina. May peace and blessings be upon them all. We explore how the message of Muharram is not just about remembering the past, but about shaping who we are today. So we are honored to be joined by our respected guest who will help us to reflect on these timeless teachings. I just want to turn my head to the left side of mine and say salam and hello to my dear brother, Sheikh Sayyid Samer Al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum, dear Sayyid, and thank you so much for being here.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me back.
Thank you so much for accepting our invitation. And to the right side of mine, the one and only Sayyid Mudarrisi. Assalamu alaikum, dear Sayyid, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We will be with you, and as you say so, we'll be ready.
عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا حسين عليه السلام. May Allah accept your mournings, dear guests and our dear audiences. So first thing first, I just want to ask dear Sayyid Samer, before we just delve into the questions, that how did you find this blessed month of Muharram so far for you?
Alhamdulillah, it's been a long Muharram, really, yeah. because this kind of started on February 28th when the aggression started against the Islamic Republic of Iran, and this people started to go on the streets. And this kind of continued on to Muharram. So we are still going into the streets and commemorating Muharram on the streets, as well as sort of supporting the, you know, and paying allegiance to the new leader and supporting the government and how they are sort of dealing with the situation and backing them. So it's been a very interesting time. It's been a continuation of sort of the start from about more than 110 nights, I think, now. Yeah. So it's absolutely fantastic. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. So, dear Sayyid, how did you find the month of Muharram? Did you just like a person who just wanted to find this majlis and that majlis to attend the majalis and the lectures, beside the delicious Husseini foods and, you know, that has been distributed in different majalis?
Yeah, I think before we get into the delicious parts of these majalis, I think our dear guest beautifully put it. I mean, it seems to be a very long Muharram because it seems as if it had already started. And it was really interesting. The people themselves were the ones who were coming out into the streets, taking the responsibility of everything they thought. I mean, the mawakib, the stations, the majalis, where to seem already prepared before even Muharram began.
Yeah.
And we all know that when it comes to Muharram, it will be to the end of Safar, what we are talking about.
Yeah.
After that incident, the aggression that began. So yeah, that part of it being aside, I think the majalis have a kind of different sense this year specifically. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it was like our hearts were like set into the right direction way before the month of Muharram arrived here. So, dear Said Samer, the story of Karbala is not just history as we know it. And it is also about standing against injustice with courage and dignity. And so my question is, how can Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Hazrat Ali Akbar, to be more specific in this with regards to our today's topic, be seen as a real role model for youngsters and youth who face injustice today in the world that we live in?
Yes, well, you know, you mentioned Ali Akbar. He was between 18 to 25 years old at the time when the events of Karbala happened. You're asking about how it's not just history. It's something that we can apply today. That's absolutely right. You know, for the stories of the Holy Quran, they teach us many things, from Nabi Musa to Nabi Isa to Nabi Idris and Salih and all of those. These are stories for us to learn. But it doesn't stop there. After the Holy Quran was finalized and the demise of the Prophet came about, the imams took over. And after the imams, we also have people who we should be able to take as role models, not because they're infallible and divinely guided, but because they stood ground, they had principles, they accepted the principles, and their hearts were able to lean towards truth. And this is what we see with Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, with Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam. They were able to do that. Now, one of the stories from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm just going to make a very quick point here, is that he said that the, you know, after the Battle of Badr, he said that the Fir'aun of today, I mean Abu Jahl, was worse than Fir'aun of Nabi Musa.
Mm.
What does that teach us? It teaches us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the stories from the Holy Quran to apply to today's world.
Okay.
Who was the Fir'aun of the time? Abu Jahl. Now, we have to know who the Fir'aun of the time in Karbala was, to make it practical.
Yeah.
They realized, those young people realized who the Fir'aun of the time is, and once they do that, it became very easy to stand on their principles and to fight on the right side.
Yeah.
Now, the message for the youth today is this: who is the Fir'aun of the time today? These are not just stories in the Holy Quran stuck in history. These are not just stories that we mourn in Karbala 10 nights in Muharram and forget about it after Ashura, and maybe go to Arba'een and then come back and forget about it. No, these are stories for us today where we must continue to learn from them and apply those stories in today's modern world.
Yeah.
So we have to ask ourselves, who is the Fir'aun and what is my obligation today? Which side of history do I want to stand on?
May I interrupt you? Say it for...
Sure.
Yeah. Continuing on what our dear friend mentioned here, I think, speaking of the majalis you just mentioned, one of the main differences that we see today in majalis of this year, and specifically in comparison with the previous years, is that they seem to be applying more practically what they had learned from the lessons of Ashura to this. I mean, it seems that when our friend mentioned that, I mean, you have to know the Pharaoh or Fir'aun of your time to put the lessons of Ashura, to reach to that part of the practicality of Ashura lessons. It seems that our majalis seem to be more exact, more to the point, the speakers giving speech, talking about the exact different extenses and different cases of a brutality of our time.
Yeah.
And people are coming to know what is going on in the world today. And that is one of the most differences, one of the most important differences that we see this year in comparison with the previous years, majalis.
And I remember when it comes to, like, some decades ago, when it comes to the youngsters and youth, like people, politicians, like socialists, when they wanted to refer to the youngsters in the society, they young, like youngsters, they've been treated as like elements of the society that are ready to become rebellious. So they needed to be under the control because these are like the part of the society who are like involved in like alcohol and, you know, having the wrong relationships and having identity crisis and so on and so forth. But something has happened and changed the course of history in 1979 when a bunch of youngsters, like let's say millions of youngsters in Islamic Republic of Iran territory, they have changed the whole plot of hegemonism, whether it was like the West hegemony or the East hegemony. And they changed because they wanted to fight for their own independence, and it was different. It was not something calculated by the trillionaires and the superpowers and so-called superpowers of the world. And it was interesting that they got inspired by the same story of Karbala and Ashura, and they did something that is been remained for like 48 years.
They drew strength from what happened to those youngsters in the time of Karbala. They knew what the enemy wanted from them as opposed to them, so they're just acting against it.
Exactly. So, dear Sayyid Samer, among the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the young Hazrat Ali Akbar, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his rank, obviously, for sure, stand out for his faith, bravery, and clarity of purpose. What makes Hazrat Ali Akbar a powerful example for today's youth? Among what, besides what you just said earlier in the program?
Well, that's a good question, and it does go back to tarbiyah. And tarbiyah starts from before even marriage, right? So when we're doing the upbringing of children, we have to consider that with regards to the spouse selection even, right? So this is a very important message. Spouse selection, who's going to be the mother or the father of my child. So, for example, Ummul Banin, we spoke about last time. Imam Ali alayhi salam, after the demise of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, said, I want a wife who will bring up brave children. A brave woman will bring up brave children.
True.
So, Ali al-Akbar, from that point of view, we know who the mother is, right?
Yeah.
She was brave. So that starts from there. The upbringing starts during the pregnancy stage. The upbringing starts with the milk that the mother feeds the child. It has to be halal, has to be tahir. The upbringing starts with how you speak to the youth. For example, if we have a look at Abu Fadl al-Abbas, where Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he says, أخي يا نور عيني يا شقيقي. He says, oh my brother, oh the nur, the illumination of my eyes, right? Oh, my companion. The way that he speaks to him is upbringing. The way that Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra speaks to Imam al-Hassan and al-Hussein when they go in the famous hadith al-Kisa. We all know this hadith, right? How she describes when they enter. The way that she wholeheartedly accepts them into the house, that is upbringing. That is what makes them principled, powerful, brave, loyal. Right.
So they just plant this set of rules and principles of upbringing a child beforehand. He just got to the age of, you know, teenagehood or like to become a strong young member of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They just think about those things, and they wanted to create a great companion for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They just
Love, right? They the upbringing is love. With love in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he said, when I was commissioned the prophethood,
sure,
right? He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fahalafani bishubban. That means that He has made me promise that I have to look after the youth.
Yeah.
So this is an important message that we have to give. That we need to look after our youth. These majalis that we have to give a message to the youth. Not, you know, it's important to give messages to the elders and all of that, but it's important to focus on the youth so that when the time arises, they know where they stand, how principled they are.
So, dear Sayyidina, Sayyid Mudarrisi, I mean, I consider myself a young person, and I want to take this Muharram as a moment and opportunity for self-improvement, right? I want to be a changed man. So many people, they do really, you know, foster a new traits and characteristics during these 10 days. But how can we preserve, how can we keep these good mood that and the state of spirit even further to make a lot, you know,
more
lifelong
practical
characteristics for ourselves as well?
Yeah. continuing on what dear guest Sayyid Samra mentioned, I think one of the most fundamental dimensions of the event of Ashura is the lessons, the moral insights of this movement, okay? Mm. And specifically from the perspective of upbringing and education. So you see, the Ashura uprising has not been discussed extensively from this perspective, and specifically from the point of view of role models. You see, when you see a role model for yourself, every kind of age, every class of the society, every member of the family can find a kind of role model for themselves in the event of Ashura.
And we need one in our life.
And we need, absolutely we need. And if we don't pay enough attention to this kind of need, there will be others who will provide us with the pseudo role models for us. Okay.
Sure. So if we which is what the West exactly does.
Exactly. Mm. That's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make. The point is that if you do not see these role models, if you do not know their lifestyles, if you do not feel sympathetic towards them, and if you do not feel that you can be as close as you can to them, there will be others who will provide you the role models you are naturally needing, intrinsically needing. So the point is, just like the narrative making, if you do not make your own narrative, it is the enemy who will make the narrative for you. So that's the point. The very first step of the way is that you need to know and recognize that there is a role model for you, somebody who is acting exactly like you are doing as you are having your role, and you need to take after them. You need to go after them, step of the way.
Thank you so much, Jazakallah Khair. Seems like it's a great time to just take a pause. Stay tuned, dear audiences. We'll be back soon. May Allah accept your mourning and make it a source of spiritual growth and nearness to Him. May He grant us the strength to carry the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam beyond Muharram and count us among His sincere followers and faithful companions of Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten His reappearance. Welcome back, dear audiences. You're listening to the live special program dedicated to cover the Ma'arif al-Husseini, the lessons of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the day of Ashura. And also we've been focusing on the life and characteristics and traits of Hazrat Ali Akbar. And so basically the youngsters are the main audiences, and they are more than welcome than any time else for this special program as well. So I'm going to pursue and continue our conversation with dear brother Sayyid Samer. So Sayyidna, many people see the months of Muharram, especially these 10 days of the blessed months of Muharram, mainly as a time of mourning and grief. But is that the full meaning of it, or is there something deeper behind the tears?
Well, emotions are very important. So this is something else that can't be, it cannot be taken away from Muharram. It can't be taken away from the Majalis. It can't be taken away from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We have narrations about, those who shed a tear for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Of course, with the conditions and preconditions that apply to that, their sins will be forgiven. So being sad is an important thing. But is that all of it? No, of course it's not. Karbala and what happened in Ashura is about resistance. It's about standing up against tyranny and oppression at all costs, right?
Yeah.
So this is the lesson. And we all, as Sayyid Mudarisi was speaking before we went on the break, if we don't control the narrative about who our heroes are, we're going to end up with heroes like Spider-Man and Batman and Superman. I just want to very quickly mention a story when we were in Australia, for example.
Sure.
One of the mothers complained to my wife about why my 7 or 8 year old daughter said to her daughter that there is no such thing as a Santa Claus. She was offended by that, right? Why did you tell your daughter that there's no Santa Claus? Why did she tell my daughter that? You see, they grow up building a fabricated reality of heroes like Santa Claus and all those movies in Hollywood. And then they grow up to realize that there is no such a thing.
Yes.
And when they realize that there's no such a thing, then they'll say, hang on a minute, if there's no Santa Claus and no Superman, then there's no God.
Yeah.
Whereas we have real heroes. Heroes that stood up for the rights, heroes that that were loyal to their masters, heroes that were chivalrous, heroes that were brave. And they are real people who are, by the way, not ma'asum. They're not divinely guided. So we can't use the excuse, hang on a minute, you know what? You can't compare me to this divinely guided person. You can't compare me to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to the Imam. No, I don't want to compare you to those people. I want to compare you to people just like us, who are not divinely guided, like Ali al-Akbar, like Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, like Qasim alayhi salam, like Hur alayhi salam. You mentioned that you feel young. You feel like you are part of the youth, right? Now, I won't give away your age, but I know you're between 30 and 40 years old, right? So at 37, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was at Karbala. He is still considered as part of the youth.
Yeah.
So it's important for us to realize that the message is not just about tears. There's a lot of it is that, yes. Right? We have to be emotionally invested in Imam al-Hussein to be able to understand the reality behind it. And the reality is resistance and standing up for what the Holy Quran teaches us.
And I think, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think the West and Westerners are the ones who realize what kind of power this youth have. And that's what they try to use fabricated realities and these pseudo role models for them in order to make them busy, engage in their own little businesses, different kinds of movies and stuff and video games. I mean, the specific ones that are giving them, nourishing them, the specific role models that they feel sympathetic towards them. They feel that they are like the same. I mean, but you have to look from this perspective to the event of Ashura, and specifically the role models provided. I think, and I just looked up a quote from Mahatma Gandhi, the leader of India's independence movement. He said, and this quote, what I mean by this quote is that he has realized what kind of power is laid within this kind of event in Ashura. He says that I have carefully studied the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the great martyr, and I have paid close attention to the events of Karbala. It has become clear to me that if India wishes to become a victorious nation, it must follow the example of Hussein. Absolutely. What does it mean? It means that I have understood that everything we need can be taken as a lesson from the event of Ashura, specifically from the youth. But because what can a nation do without a youth? Of course, we all know a nation without a youth is nothing.
Yeah.
So the power of the youth is the most important thing for the nations all over the world. And what is happening and what is going on is that some are trying to take these youth away from us or take ourselves away from our society. And that's what they are doing. But vice versa, exactly vice versa. This is what Imam Hussein has taught us, bringing his whole family with him as his companions, of course.
When I talk to youngsters, sometimes I see them like find themselves nagging about not having access to money and resources. And sometimes they would say like, we are minorities. We are outnumbered by the enemy, by that powerful country or this powerful country. But Hazrat Ali Akbar and Imam Hussein, they just got like 72 people plus like a bunch of sisters and, you know, women out there. They didn't nag, right? They just say, okay, we can change the whole history, the course of history by our bravery. And they did. They just flipped the history, and Karbala was a turning point. So as just dear Sayyid, so we all like Sayyid here, like we've got three Sayyids in here in the show. That's a blessing. And I take it as a divine sign to be here, mashallah. But as the dear Sayyid Mudarrisi mentioned that the youngsters can bring change to the society, and they are like the most powerful element of this social fabric that would be the society and community. they can change the whole world. They can change the history and pave the road for the hastening of the reappearance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. So dear Sayyid Samer, one of the strongest lessons of Karbala is standing free from oppression and refusing to bow to injustice. I am sorry. So how can this message of freedom and dignity be understood by young people today?
How can this message of freedom and dignity be understood today? Right. So I think the most obvious thing to shine a light on at the moment is what's happening, for example, in Gaza and Palestine, in Lebanon, the attacks on the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is a very obvious and apparent thing. As was mentioned earlier, these are lessons in history that we need to apply to today's world. So who is the Yazid of our time? Who is the Muawiyah of our time? Who is the Fir'aun of our time? I think, well, to me anyway, it's very clear. It's very hard to argue that I don't know who the Yazid of our time is or the Fir'aun of our time is. If you can't see who that is, right, there's a problem. Okay, now it's going to be very hard to determine where that problem is, but there is a problem. And if you can't see who's fighting for the truth, then there's a problem there too.
Yeah.
But the youth are a target for both sides.
Truly.
Both the Western ideology, the materialistic capitalist ideology, and the Islamic theological ideology that we have. Why is that? It's because they have the ability to change. They have the ability to have their heart formed in different ways and be able to change the course of history. So the course of history can be changed for good or bad. And they produce these multi-million dollar Hollywood movies to try to persuade people to move in one direction.
Yeah.
And yet we have, if we want to put it in blockbuster sort of words, we have a blockbuster every single year.
Yeah.
During Muharram. Mm. A sequel after sequel after sequel after sequel that we speak about to the youth to remind them and spiritually purify them from the other Western kind of things every single year. And this is the miracle of Imam Hussein, that for all these years, it's like a fresh story every single time.
Yes, exactly.
And it just pops into my mind the words of Imam Khomeini, the great the establisher and the founder of Islamic Revolution, that he said, it is Muharram and Safar that has kept Islam alive.
Indeed.
Sometimes we just go and pass by as bystanders. We don't pay enough attention to these words. But sometimes when you look at it from the bottom of your heart and you realize what is going on in the society, in the world right now, you see that it has been really it. We have been neglectful. We have been ignorant of this reoccurring occasion that we have, always keeping people alive, keeping youngsters alive, giving them enough opportunities. In these majalis, in these mawakibs and stations, we have all seen that today, out in the streets, it is the youngsters who are taking the responsibility. It is them who are naturally and by their own doing whatever they can at any age they are, any gender they are. They are the ones who take the responsibility and accept it, and they can put it to perfection, I think.
Yes.
And we have seen how many new and novel things we have seen in the stations, how many inventions we have seen from them.
Yeah.
And this is the side of the youth. That's
yes.
why Westerners are really capitalizing on this issue and this concept of youth. They're really paying important, really a lot of attention to this kind of issue. They know what kind of power the youth, what kind of power this kind of generation specifically have, and they are just using it.
I just want to add to that, if I may.
Sure,
I don't know if we have time, but
please.
You know, the attacks, Imam Khamenei did say that we are stronger than we were in the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned the millions that joined the revolution in 1979. He's saying that we are stronger now than we were back then. Why is he saying that? Because of so much, one of the reasons, so much attacks are happening on the minds of the youth, yet we see them for over 100 nights. The youth, as you said, any gender that you want, any level of society, any tabaq, they're all coming out.
Yeah.
Which means they are not being fooled by what the enemy is saying. They may have some questions, seeded into their minds, which is fine. They're allowed to ask these questions. This is what a real democracy is. This is what real Islam is to teach the youth. If there's a question, you should ask about it. If there's a shubha, if there's a fallacy in your mind, we need to explain it to them. We have to have people who are able to explain these fallacies to them so that they can understand what is going on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they may be saying, for example, we're going through a very difficult time. When is this Nasr going to come that was promised to us in the Holy Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيُمَحَّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He will filter out these people, right? The weaker people will fall out in iman. Now they will have their rewards, obviously, but the stronger people, they're the ones that will hold on tightly onto the rope. And we're being tested right now, very hard times.
And when the arc of Imam Hussein alayhi salam started moving at the beginning of the month of Muharram, and also, as you mentioned, wash away all the doubts and, you know, problems and the gigantic apparatus against religion, against the core values of societies that has been like targeted by the Hollywood and movies and series and games and everything that you can just name it. I see, despite all these, I would call it the propaganda machine. Mm-hmm. Youngsters, despite their looks and appearances, mm-hmm. they burst into criers, they attend the majalis, you see people, they've got tattoos and everything. You probably categorize them. Sometimes I do, being judgmental, and categorize them as people who do not believe in such the pure Muhammadan Islam or like the Hussein Ma'arif, but they know and they're real. They absolutely get the idea of Imam Hussein and what did Imam Hussein said and what did Imam Hussein do. So, dear Sayyidina, can you please talk a little bit about these types of people and how these people are absolutely carrying the message of Imam Hussein in this such time?
Yeah, I think, again, we have to return back to the words of this time, our great martyr leader. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the martyr, he said, he was the one who said that our youth in this time are seemingly more capable and more powerful than the youth that we had in the first sacred war, yes?
Yeah.
I mean, he was the one who said it. And honestly, I have to say, I have to confess that I did not believe from the bottom of my heart mm-hmm. that this was true. Because I didn't, at least as you said so, Sayyid, we tend to categorize people in our minds and we tend to see them into different classes and categories. But sometimes when the important things happen,
sure.
when these, as you said, this gigantic arc starts going on, you see different people are coming in and they are taking their own lessons. And what our dear brother Sayyid Samara mentioned, that's the point. You see, the different youth, they have their power. They have recognized that they have their own power. They can do everything they can. So they come into the streets. They come into these majalis, mawakib, and stations, and they take their own lessons.
Yeah.
They have realized how much power and how much potential they've got in their lives. Different classes, different parts, different genders, different appearances, as you said. So yes, the point is that they can find their own role models in the event of Ashura. I mean, the very simple thing that our dear friend mentioned here, that Hadrat Abbas alayhi salam was only 37 or 38 years old. I mean,
yes.
Naturally, most of the youngsters today can have this kind of feeling that their brother Hadrat Abbas alayhi salam has in their lives, and they can see it, they can capitalize on it, they can use it, and they can understand more, they can learn more from it.
Thank you. So my dear Sayyid Samer, was there any particular movement in the history that got inspired by the lessons of Ashura and Imam Hussein that came to your mind here at the moment? Especially when I was like during the genocide in Gaza, I have witnessed so many like clips on Instagram and YouTube that people were like youngsters, these YouTubers and streamers, they were like checking and finding the name Islam and how these people are like resisting this like carpet bombing of Israeli regime. And what is this essence in this heart? What is their belief? And so many people got reverted, actually. They become Muslim just through watching them. And I saw this during this rapper who were like specialized in, vocal stuff and, you know, making sounds and everything. He was like beating on the chest by watching some of the Muharram clip. He was a rapper, got the tattoo and everything. And he was amazed about how people dedicate themselves to the Imam Husseini. I reckon he didn't even understand the meaning of the lyrics and the eulogies in the song, but he felt connected. So please.
Look, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide who He wills. And one of the important things that I think we spoke about just now is about their appearances. We tend to make judgments very quickly, which is, you know, not good, but we should, I mean, it's unconscious sometimes, but we shouldn't act on those judgments. And as you've said, we see people who are of different calibers and they have lessons in accordance to their own ability to take those lessons. But if we go back to, you know, if I was to summarize in one line what message I would give these people, those who have just come into Islam, who have just reverted, or those who have who are deep in Islam and are, you know, up to the Gnostic level, right? all of those levels. Sure. If I was to give one lesson from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and Karbala and the events of Karbala for the youth, it is that we can do this as an individual, yes, that's fine, but this is not what Islam is about. Islam is about a movement of a caravan, an entire ummah, a unity. And the lesson that I would like to take from Karbala is that when people went out to battle, even though it was really obvious that we had to go and fight in, on the lands of Karbala to fight for the truth, they still sought permission from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to go. And this is important.
Yes.
It means what? It means that our leader has to be the one that gives the final command.
We obey.
We obey. And this is it. If the leader says, go fight, then we go fight.
Very nice.
If he says, do not go fight, then we do not go fight. Right? And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam made that very clear with regards to, you know, for example, the young people. He was reluctant to let them go. He was very ready to let Ali al-Akbar go, very quickly go, my son. All those things. But the point is what? Follow the instructions of the leader. If you go ahead of the leader, you're going to be annihilated. If you go slower than the leader, then you're going to be annihilated. Go with the authority of the leader. Whatever he says, we will obey.
And I think those people, because of such gems we can find in the hearts of youth and youngsters, those people who organize the majalis should, you know, think universally, should welcome every people and every person who come to the majalis. Because Imam Hussein actually welcomed so many people in his army, right?
Yes.
Even at the end of the moments of the night of Ashura as well. Thank you so much, dear audiences, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear Sayyid Mudarrisi and Sayyid Samer, for joining me in this discussion.
Pleasure.
And as we bring this program to a close, we are reminded that the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not confined to a moment in history or a season of mourning. It's a living call for dignity, justice, and courage, especially for youth who shape the future of every society. May the spirit of Karbala stay alive in our decisions and character and the way we stand for what is right in our daily lives. Thank you so much, our dear audiences, for listening. And wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm sorry.